Psalm 124. As you know, my take on the Psalms is that they were pretty well, most of them, written by David, but under inspiration they were rewritten and reapplied at various points in Israel's later history. And I think this is very clearly appropriate to the time of Hezekiah and the amazing deliverance of Judah and Jerusalem by the angel that slew 185,000 Assyrians who were surrounding Jerusalem. Verse 4, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. Well, the waters are clearly a symbol of the nations against Israel, like a flood that was coming to judge the land for their sin. And the waters of the river Euphrates are used about Assyria in Isaiah. The stream, the river, would have gone over our soul. Well, in Isaiah 8, the Assyrian invasion is likened to a flood that flooded the whole of Judah, all the defense cities fell, and it came up to the neck, and the neck and the head were like Jerusalem. So they were absolutely overwhelmed by the Assyrian flood, and only their head stood out of water. Then, 5, the proud waters would have gone over our soul, while the Assyrians were characterized by pride. And by the way, when you look at how God criticizes the nations who have invaded Israel and criticizes Judah themselves, he so often picks on pride as the lead characteristic, the parade example of their sinfulness. We might have chosen aggression or idolatry, but God sees to the essence, and the essence was of pride. Verse 6, blessed be Yahweh who has not given us as a prey to their teeth. So now the imagery changes from a flood to an aggressive beast that has got its mouth open and it's about to close upon Jerusalem. And they're delivered at the last minute. By the way, likening the Assyrian invasion of Judah and surrounding Jerusalem to a beast, this is picked up, of course, later in Daniel and in Revelation, and the latter day Assyrian is going to do the same. Verse 7, our soul has escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Well, they were surrounded by the Assyrians. And that Assyrian encirclement was broken by just one angel who slew 185,000 and the rest of them ran away. So it was broken. The snare was broken in a moment. Verse 8, our help is in the name of Yahweh who made heaven and earth. So it is God's power as creator that is used as the basis for faith in his deliverance. And you find this very often in the prophets. The fact that God created heaven and earth means that it was therefore not difficult for him to save his people from a no-exit situation. So you can reason back from that, that any attempt to rationalize or dilute his creative power at the beginning in creation will have negative implications for our faith in his ability to dramatically act later now in human history. And there is a strong tendency to rationalize God's power. You take the crossing of the Red Sea. This is presented not only in Exodus, but in later allusion to it in the Bible as an absolute miracle. And yet there is this tendency to rationalize it, to say, yeah, well, there are pretty strong winds that blow across the desert, and yeah, a strong wind could have come and sort of blown a way for them to go through. And I guess it didn't cross the Red Sea, but it was just, a marshy sort of area. But no, they crossed on dry land, which would not quite have been appropriate in that scenario, as the rationalists like to suggest. Not muddy land, but dry land. The waters were congealed in the hearts of the sea. There was a congealing of the waters. And of course, the waters just came back at just the right time. As soon as they had gone through, then they came in a moment and swamped the Egyptians. There's, of course, it's true that God works through human mechanism and through natural causes and natural things. That is true on one hand. On the other hand, there is miracle. And all that is within us balks at that. that can God really just do things? Could God create matter? Yes, this is the whole point of creation. Now, beyond that, how you may argue that the present world in which we live came into its present form, well, all right, that is open, I suppose, to some sort of discussion, but I don't think it's profitable, because the essence of it is that God is creator. And no amount of scientific explanation can ever explain where matter came from. You may argue about how matter was later morphed and transformed, but the essence is that God is creator. Once you rationalize that away and talk about a random Big Bang, where the material came from in the first place for the Big Bang to happen is, of course, inexplicable without God. Once you start going down that rational path, you will then find your own faith is impacted later in life. That God brings situations into our lives where there is no exit. He does this on purpose to throw us onto Him. You may find that suddenly your tires burst and you're in a dangerous country right in the middle of nowhere. You have no cell phone coverage. You're without anything. What do? You turn to God. If you're in a Western country, well, first of all, you get your cell phone out and you call for help. You may flag down another motorist. There are various options that you go through, and all that cushions you against throwing yourself wholeheartedly and solely upon your God. And so this is why faith in the Western world is under attack, because absolute total faith, pure and simple, in the God who can create matter, the God who can do all things, is mitigated against time and again. That is why people's faith in the poorer world is so much stronger, where maybe you don't have a cell phone, you don't have insurance policies, you don't have all these crutches to help you through life without God. And God is your immediate port of call, first and foremost. And the rest of it, well, yeah, let's see if that may work, but first and foremost to God. Not go to all the other things, and then when they don't work out, oh, yeah, well, what about God then? Okay, yeah, God, could you do something if you can? No. So, you see, belief in creation, the name of Yahweh who made heaven and earth, this is the basis for faith. It was the basis for the faith of the faithful, and they were a faithful minority in Hezekiah's time, Isaiah, and those who were faithful, believing that the snare could be broken, believing that that which appeared impossible could happen. And so this is why I would emphasize the need to maintain a simple faith in creation. No matter what your level of education, intelligence as you perceive it, a simple faith that God does things which are without any kind of visible reason to believe in. This is so critical. This is what Hebrews 11 says that faith is about. Believing, trusting, and that's what the word belief means, to trust. To trust that God could make things out of nothing. That God can create. That God is ultimately creative, bringing into existence that which did not previously exist. That's why the Bible starts with this statement that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And all the struggle with that is really, I would suggest, an excuse to excuse us from having to accept ultimately God and His final and total ability to make things out of nothing, to transform what is existing, sure, but ultimately to create from nothing. You won't know that unless you have been thrown into situations where there was no way out, where there was absolutely no way out. When you've been there, and of course we all try to cushion ourselves against that, you know, you go on a journey and people say, oh yeah, do stay safe. It's a big thing, isn't it? Oh, well, be safe, look after yourself. It's all said in a well-meaning kind of way, but, God wants to bring you to a position where you can only trust in him. So don't be surprised if those situations arise. And you are then thrown back onto your faith in him as creator. And keep thinking about the beginning of things that he created. And that creative ability of his continues to this day.